بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to all of you to the 26th episode of Iftar for Soul Season 3. I've had a technical difficulty. Well, I mean, it was more ignorance than a technical difficulty. I had no idea about the switch of the app. So what happened? I uploaded a segment in the 23rd episode, so 24th episode. So yesterday's episode is actually added to the episode from yesterday, from the day before yesterday. So if you would be interested to listen to the episode from yesterday, please open episode 23 on Spotify or whatever platform that you're using. And then, you know, after the 20th mark, 20th or 21st minute mark, the rest of the episode is 24th. Now we are going to move towards the 26th episode, I mean the 25th, because, you know, we started numbering with episode 0. We are going to look at the ayah 258. It's a long ayah also, like the one we had yesterday. But there is an introductory question, so that is a rhetorical question that we are going to look at, and then there's a dialogue, and this is exactly what happened in the ayah before that. So there was an introductory statement where Allah was asking Prophet Muhammad to think about what happened with the elders of the children of Israel after Moses. Here Allah talks about again, he starts with a thought, with a the same thing, alam tara, to ponder, to think about it. And then there is a dialogue between people. So here I would read the entire ayah, but we will be only reflecting on the rhetorical question part. And also, I completely forgot. Tomorrow will be the last episode of the season, and I will be ending it, inshallah, tomorrow. And I hope that we can have. It ends at a perfect topic. So I would love to talk to you about that. And let's start our second last episode, and here it goes. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Did you not consider the case of the person who remonstrated with Abraham about who was Abraham's Lord just because Allah had granted him dominion? When Abraham said, "My Lord is He who grants life and causes death," he replied, "I grant life and I cause death." Abraham said, "But surely Allah causes the sun to rise from the east. Now you cause it to rise from the west. Thereupon the denier of the truth was confounded. Allah does not direct the wrongdoers to the right way. So here you see that there are multiple topics here. I mean, honestly, on just this ayah, there can be an episode, like hours long episode, just to talk about several points here. I will be referring now to the same concept that I gave yesterday, was why does Allah point out towards people, figures that are way beyond our scope of civilization, our scope of lifestyles, hobbies, mindsets, perceptions, how we look at a society, how we look at culture, and why is Allah first requiring us to accept that this is a timeless message? And if it's a timeless message, how does a person who lived way before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that's more than 2,000, 3,000 years, so before Jesus, before Moses, why do we have to look at that? I touched this topic yesterday, and I think it's, you know, as much as we like to believe that we are unique, we are living in a completely different times, so all these religions and all this, you know, wisdom from the past does not really apply to us. You know, people were different, their mindsets were different, they were not as smart or whatever, you know, thing we can think about. Please refer to my yesterday's episode on this topic. But it all boils down to the diseases of the heart, to the state of the heart. And this is what Allah points out here. So no matter in what part of life, in what era you're basically in, people have had the same response, and people have been talking the same way regarding religion, regarding truth, regarding Allah, regarding His prophets, regarding corruption, how we corrupt on earth, how we're supposed to be better humans, what makes us bad humans, what are humans, what is life, what is death, all of these topics over years, They've baffled minds. They've baffled people. They have, the people have always been hostile towards towards religion. Anything that went against their comfort zones that they had established for themselves. Anyone who wanted to say that, no, my word is more powerful than the word of Allah. And every time these people were dealt with. The only difference is that now we are given time. We are given time until the day, until the world ends. So here the mindset is given that no matter where you are and how much you are advanced in your life, even if you're living in 2030, 2050, 3010, people will have a similar attitude towards religion, towards one true religion of Allah. Now, I also talked yesterday about what religion actually means. So please refer to, I would highly recommend you to refer to my yesterday's episode to understand what I'm talking about today. Today, Allah has brought up the figure of Abraham. Now, here Allah says the same thing. Did you not consider the case? And this is what Dr. Alaa Maududi translated. Dr. Musafa Khattab says, are you, O Prophet, not aware of the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord because Allah had granted him kingship? Now, there are several things that we need to break down here. Here, it is stated, so it was stated earlier that God is a protector and supporter of the man of faith and brings him out of darkness into light, whereas the protectors and supporters of the unbelievers are, you know, deities they have who lead them into darkness out of light. So the first is that of a person before whom truth was put with such clear and impressive arguments that he could not refute it. But since he had placed his reins in the hands of the deity, he still could not believe it. So the two subsequent examples are those of two people who clung to God as a support and God drew them out of darkness. Now, here we need to see also that the God that we are referring to here is Allah, right? So when I say God in my any of these episodes, please understand that it is Allah. Now, here it's a... here it's a dialogue has been a reference. So the king that is spoken about here, the ruler, is Nimrud. Now Nimrud was ruler of the land of Abraham's birth, Iraq. Basically the event that is referred to here is not mentioned at all in the Bible. However, the whole story is narrated in Talmud, and it is largely in harmony with the Quranic version as well. And also in the Talmudic version, we are told that the father of Abraham occupied the highest office in Nimrud's government. When Abraham denounced polytheism and preached the doctrine of the unity of God, so / Allah, and smashed the idols of the temple, his own father lodged a complaint against him before the king. So here you see that we are taken back in the time where there is a power, where there is a power dynamic between someone who claims that whatever you're believing in is false, and what I'm going to tell you is what you need to believe in. So then there is a direct threat to the authority of the person, because you have that, you know, you are basically on the religion, you're basically on the religion of the ruler. So that's what also gives you the authority, the chosen one and whatnot. Like if you really look back in the time of these civilizations, the people in power were also the ones who were governing the religion. They were governing the laws. They were given that power in the land to determine laws, to determine how people should live and what should be the law of the land. But then, you know, imagine like a lame, in the case of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was, you know, compared to the powerful chiefs, Prophet Muhammad also came from a very renowned lineage. But the power rested in the hands of those people who were controlling the Kaaba and who had those idols in the Kaaba. So they had the political advantage because they were governing religions of different gods. Now here is the same thing here. Now Prophet Muhammad is given this knowledge that now look, Abraham was in a similar situation. Imagine that you are. I mean, it's very probable that. Like, you know, the children, if their fathers, if their parents are belong to a very powerful tycoon, a business empire, it's very much natural for parents that they hope and they believe that their children will take over, because you know if you have built a huge empire, you don't want just any person to come and take over it. Like, you know, how can you trust someone if you cannot trust your family? And that's why, you know, one of the most biggest traumas comes from family, because our safe space is violated. And if your basic security, from where you draw even the sense of security, if that is demolished right in the beginning, then you know we really have some traumas and related to our family because of the safe space getting damaged. Now here, Abraham's father, right? He is the, you know, like according to Talmud, he is occupying the highest office in Nimrud's government. It's like he is perhaps the minister, the chief of the ruling party. Now his son stands up and he says that what you're doing is wrong. Like what kind of a blow would that give to the to that power? And then you see that in this afterwards, if you look at this ayah, then there is a dialogue between Nimrud and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now I'm not going to get into the to the question and answer, like what's happening there, the proofs that was given, because you know it, when I say, you know, when Abraham said to him, you know, my Lord, he gives life and death, and well the ruler says, well, I also can kill basically anyone I want, and I can give life, in the sense that if someone is given the sentence of death, I can just revoke that, and then the person is saved. So I gave life to that person, and then Abraham says that my Lord causes the sun to rise from the east. Now you cause it to rise from the west. And that's where the catch was. He knew that at that point he could not do that. And of course he was prisoned afterwards. And then there's the entire story that I highly recommend you to read. It is available in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Ma'arif al-Quran. But what's really interesting here is the injunctions and related considerations. I will read now from Ma'arif al-Quran, where it says that it is evident from the words used in the verse that if an infidel is given political power or a high worldly status, there is no harm for a Muslim in referring to him as a holder of that position. The ayah also affirms the permissibility of having a debate with such an infidel in order to manifest the difference between right and wrong. Some people doubt the validity of the last argument of Sayyidina Ibrahim. Okay, I will not get to this point, it's not really relevant. But what's really interesting here, you see that, you know, just by turning a blind eye towards these people, how much knowledge and wisdom we lose. If you really, there was a series on the life of Abraham by I think it was Dr. Umar Suleiman. No, this was Noman Ali Khan, where he talks about the wonderful life of Abraham and how much we owe to that. There's a 1 hour 20 minutes lecture from Dr. Umar Suleiman on the legacy of Abraham. I can highly recommend you to watch that as well, where, you know, because if you look from the perspective of Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all of them, they believe in Abraham, right? They all, I mean, the religions are also called the Abrahamic religions. But then how much did we actually study Abraham, right? Who was the God of Abraham at the end of the day? And Allah is coming here and telling us that Abraham believed in me. Abraham believed in Allah. And then if you really see his journey, like how he came to understand the truth and what steps he took, how did he ponder, how did he contemplate on the signs in the heaven, on the movement of the celestial bodies, sun, moon, stars, how he used these inferences to deduce a conclusion. It's beautiful how his path is and how lonely and how very lonely he was in his life. Because, you know, of course, like if you imagine you are questioning authority, that massive authority, and of course if you have that much power, it also corrupts your heart. So at one point you might as well, you know, not even care that much about what your own son is saying if your position is at stake, and you are in the highest position in the government, right? So keeping all these aspects in mind, one needs to realize that, you know, believing in a faith, believing in a God does not mean that you don't have to give up on something. You know, we might as well, even if we are Muslims, there are Muslim families who even shame you for starting to pray regularly, or if you're a woman and you want to put on a hijab, or if you're a boy, you want to go to the mosque more often. I know people who stop others from going to a mosque to pray in jama'ah, to pray in congregation, saying that, no, it's fine, you can pray it later, we are all here, let's sit together, and then later you can go and pray. Even to say this, right, that you don't realize that there is an appointment of Allah with you also. How can you advise people to leave that appointment and then stay with the people there? Like, you know, there are so many aspects to this which are completely ignored by our lack of knowledge, by our lack of consideration to these stories. And this is exactly what Allah is also teaching the Prophet ﷺ, to think about these stories, to see what happened to these people. Because, you know, prophethoods, they were all prophets. So Abraham, you know, Abraham was before Prophet Muhammad, there was Jesus, there was Joseph, Jonah, all these prophets were there. So Allah is informing Prophet Muhammad of all of these stories. And this is where I think that it is such a pity that you know, if you look at this, what's happening here? Are you, O Prophet, not aware of the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord because Allah had granted him kingship? Allah is giving us a clear statement, a clear sign here that when we were in the beginning, right, when we were getting to know Allah, I use the word the mulk, the dominion. Allah is saying here that he argued with Abraham about God because Allah had granted him kingship. So he did not get kingship because of on his own merit. Allah gave him that. And this is the thing. This is the thing that we mostly overlook. We get so busy with our qualifications and with our abilities, with our skills, that we don't forget we are getting these skills and abilities from in the first place to begin with. Who gave us the intellect? Why am I in such a powerful position? Because Allah blessed me with those abilities that took me there. But then we get so blinded by ourselves, by our nafs, by our ego, that we completely ignore that fact that all of this is coming from somewhere. And this is what Allah is also saying here, that, you know, he remonstrated with Abraham about who was Abraham's Lord just because Allah had granted him a dominion. I mean, this guy, the polytheist, right? Like, if you look at the tafsir of this ayah, it will be mentioned about certain traits and characteristics of the beliefs of the polytheists. One of the beliefs of the Quraysh was they knew there was Allah. There was this one ultimate God who was, you know, creating everything, creator of the creators. Yet there were other little gods who were attending other matters, you know, life, death, weather, fertility, and whatnot. God of the God of sun, the God of ray, the God of reduce, and whatnot. But then what Allah is saying, that all of this has no place in Islam. There is no partner in Allah, and Allah is unity. Allah is in union, is one. And this is what Allah says, that this is Tawheed, that I take care of everything. It's me who takes care. There's no one else who's taking part of this. Like, how can you have two CEOs of the same company? Like, imagine doing that. Imagine having two, I mean, forget a company. If there are 10 group of if there's a group of friends who are going on a holiday, right? Not two people will be responsible for the same task. It's impossible. It's logistically impossible. There will be so much agony, so much agitation, disagreements and arguments that it will just not function. This system is cease to disappear. Like, If you have two CEOs of a company, this is completely unimaginable. And this is what Allah is saying, that all the matters are resting in my hands. I determine the qadr, I determine the power. And this is what Allah is saying, that this is one of the poisons that we humans have, that once we get the mulk, once we get this dominion, this power over something, this power blinds us from the truth. So this is where it's important for us to realize that what is this dominion that Allah is talking about, right? Allah did not qualify. Allah just said that here, Allahul Mulk. He just gave him dominion. This dominion could be anything. This dominion could be a land. There is, if you look at the tribalism, if we go to these cities or countries or villages where you have, or even this mafia, they don't follow any law. They have their own law. Because they have so much power in their dominion, they don't need law to tell them what to do and what not to do. They make their own laws. They kill whoever they want. They save whoever they want. It's the law of the jungle, so to say, right? And this happens. This happens in developed countries and developing and underdeveloped countries. This is everywhere. We cannot just say, yeah, this is tribalism. Is also, you know, when we think of this tribalism, we think, okay, yeah, it's only happening in those, you know, in those jungles or of Amazon or some desert tribes and whatnot. This happens also in concerns, in the huge companies, pharma industry. I referred to this also earlier. There are. If you look at the Netflix documentary on what this automobile industry did, how they cheated the entire system just to get their cars, the damage they did to the environment in US just by altering certain things in the software. There was a small institution that was too afraid to tell them to say what happened, because they were afraid that if this huge companies, if they they had the power to shut our institution down. So just to not to get any block in our research funds, we were too afraid to come out and say something. We waited for the other people, other powerful names to say it so we could come out and say it. That the research that they are publishing, this automotive industry, does not make any sense. This is scientifically impossible. Yet they were managed to do that. They managed to get away with this for, I think, for at least a decade, I guess, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, we have this dominion everywhere where we are clouded, where our wisdom is clouded. It's this is what corrupts the hearts and the soul, and this is what Allah is trying to tell us that you know, you look, it's such a powerful question. Who did you not consider the case of a person who remonstrated, who argued with Abraham about his Lord because Allah had granted him kingship? Allah mentions his name here, that Allah granted him a dominion. So that, you know, even in this rhetorical question, that it's made very clear who gave him the dominion in the first place. It was not his skills. It was not his ability. Yes, these were the sources through which he could claim all of that. But claiming does not mean that he owns it. None of that he owned it. This was given to him by Allah. And this is the idea of caliphate in Islam, that the caliphate, his position is to understand that he does not get to decide the rules and laws which are not based on Quran and Sunnah. None of that happens. There has to be involvement of scholars to guide the person in charge. So I hope and I pray to Allah that we become inspired to know about these figures, to know about Mary, to know about the wife of Pharaoh, to know about Joseph, to know about Jonah, to know about Abraham, Ishmael, all these people who are there. Really, like getting into their stories to see. I mean, we may not get, okay, what was the name of the Abraham's wife? What was the name of his first child? Where was he living? And all these details are unnecessary. We need to see the wisdom behind their stories. What happened to them? What was their truth? And how much of that truth speaks to the truth that we are looking for on the inside? And how much peace that gives us? So let's try to get to know these people with the same vigor, with the same motivation and drive that we get to know our celebrities nowadays. May Allah guide us to the right people, to the righteous people, to the good people, and may Allah guide us to the ones who are truly guided. And may Allah make us good Muslims, and may Allah make us easier to follow His path, and beautify good deeds in our hearts, and create a hatred in our hearts for anything that is displeasing to Allah.